Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this call today. My name is Leslie Bach, and I'm the founder and chair of Protect Our Care and was the senior counselor to the Secretary of HHS during the Obama administration and also served as the department's global Ebola coordinator during that time. I want to thank Senator Brown and Senator Baldwin for joining us today. And before I turn this call over to them and to your questions, I wanted to say just a few words. Last night, Donald Trump showed America why he should not be president of the United States. He had no respect for the office of the presidency, no respect for the American people. He showed he had no plan to stop the coronavirus, no plan to reopen our schools and our economy safely. He showed he had no empathy and no understanding for the 200,000 families that lost a loved one, like my family who lost someone to COVID in March and couldn't say goodbye. He said he knew more than his own scientists and continued to downplay the virus. He lied repeatedly, including his claims about lowering drug prices. And he made it clear that his only plan for healthcare in the middle of a pandemic was to take it away. A week after Election Day on November 10th, he will be in the Supreme Court arguing to take protections away from 135 million Americans with a pre-existing condition, including Americans who have COVID and its complications, and to rip healthcare away from 23 million Americans at a time 60 million Americans have filed for unemployment benefits. And that's the reason why he's rushing to put a known ACA justice on the court so that during that hearing, they are there to take away America's healthcare. And so with that, I want to introduce our speakers, Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio first, and Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. Senator Brown's been a tireless champion of healthcare, a tireless champion for working Americans. And in Ohio, there are 4.8 million Americans with a pre-existing condition and over 150,000 Americans who have contracted COVID. Thank you, Senator Brown, for joining us, and the microphone is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Doc, and everyone with Protect Our Care. Good to be with one of my favorite members of the United States Senate, Tammy Baldwin. Thank you, Tammy, for your leadership on all things healthcare. Millions of Americans are angry. Millions of Americans are frustrated with President Trump's failure to get this pandemic under control. After months of inaction, Trump and Mitch McConnell are willing to drop everything and move heaven and earth to put another corporate special interest judge on the Supreme Court, a judge we have every reason to believe will take away Americans' health care in the middle of a pandemic. In a matter of weeks, as Mr. Doc said, the court will hear the case pushed by President Trump, trying to do what the American people and the Congress rejected over and over. They're using the courts to legislate. They're using the courts to overturn the entire Affordable Care Act. Think about what's at stake if Trump and McConnell and their allies succeed in putting in place a justice who will take away the entire health care law. Tax credits to help you afford health insurance would be gone. Protections for pre-existing conditions, gone. Ohio's entire Medicaid expansion, 600,000 people, it's gone. The ability to stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26, that's 100,000 people in my state, gone. More affordable prescription drugs for seniors by closing the donut hole, gone. Limits on how much you pay out of pocket each year, gone. Free preventive services like mammograms and bone density screenings, gone. The list goes on and on. Americans' health care is at stake with this seat. The American people deserve to have their voices heard. People are already voting as we speak. They're casting ballots. Their votes should count. We saved the ACA before because Americans all over the country made their voices heard. They wrote letters, they marched, they called, they sent emails, they rallied. Americans are doing the same again. People aren't going to stand by and watch a bunch of millionaire senators and judges with good health care, all paid for by taxpayers, try to take away their health care and silence their voice in their own government. Thank you. I'll stop and turn it back to Mr. Doc. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And now I'd like to turn the microphone over to Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, who, as Sherrod Brown said, has just been a tireless and effective voice and leader for healthcare in the Senate and for our home state of Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's a state with 2.4 million citizens with a pre-existing condition. and over 126,000 COVID cases, and a state that just in the last few weeks has seen a spike in those cases and has endured a Republican state legislature that has hobbled their ability to respond. Thank you, Senator Baldwin, and the microphone's yours.
Well, thank you, Leslie. I really appreciate that. And we'll also be happy to entertain questions about Wisconsin's very dire situation, but wanted to start more generally. So and thank you, Senator Brown, for all your leadership. I'm pleased to be on this call with you today. There's so much at stake right now in this election, and the differences between Democrats and Republicans on health care is crystal clear. So let me be very clear. President Trump doesn't have a health care plan. President Trump doesn't have a plan to protect people with pre-existing health conditions. And it doesn't matter how many times Trump says or screams or shouts that he wants to protect people with pre-existing health conditions, or how many toothless executive orders he issues. His record on this speaks for itself. President Trump wants to terminate health care. He wants to overturn the Affordable Care Act in its entirety and take away people's health care protections for pre-existing conditions in the middle of a pandemic. And now he's nominated an activist judge to do what he wants instead of giving the American people a voice on these critical issues first. Since President Trump took office, more and more Americans are going without health insurance every year. And during the pandemic this year, 12 million Americans have lost access to health insurance coverage. If the Affordable Care Act is overturned, more than 20 million Americans who gained insurance coverage could lose it. There's roughly 135 million Americans who have pre-existing health conditions, and they could lose their guaranteed health care protections. Insurance companies would be back in charge, writing the rules again, and they could decide to charge people more or deny coverage entirely due to a past cancer diagnosis or a positive COVID-19 test. Right now, President Trump and Republicans in Washington should be working on a COVID-19 response bill to bring relief to millions of unemployed workers, support struggling small businesses, and keep our economy afloat. We should be working to lower costs and expand access to health care during a pandemic. And instead, they're focused on putting an activist judge on the Supreme Court who will help them overturn and terminate the Affordable Care Act. Democrats in the Senate, like myself and Sherrod Brown, are pushing back. We are pushing back with all our might against these efforts and focused squarely on trying to save health care for millions of Americans. So with that, thank you. And I'll turn it back to you, Leslie Dock. And again, happy to answer questions on Wisconsin or the issue generally.
Thank you very much to both of you. We'll open this up for questions. And I think all of us have heard just how important the next few weeks are, the choices Americans will make, the choices Mitch McConnell will make. America's healthcare and the lives of millions of Americans depend on those choices. Can we now open up the line for questions?
At this point, if you have any questions for our speakers, you can press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question for any of our speakers, please press *3. We'll give folks just a minute here. All All right, our first question is going to come from Zach Cohen at the National Journal. Zach, you are live.
Hi, thanks for doing this call. I appreciate it. A question for both Senators and Senator Baldwin. You touched on this already, but the House might vote on yet another COVID relief package today. And I know negotiations are ongoing with the White House, but I'm wondering if both of you could talk about what a new coronavirus relief package would mean for your states and what you're hoping this package includes.
This is Senator Baldwin. Happy to jump in. There are so many critical needs that I hear about every day from Wisconsinites, and that ranges from the need to help working families and individuals, even pay the rent, put food on the table. They're struggling with all the layoffs and furloughs and unemployment. So I believe that this measure, as it does, must contain unemployment federal supplement during the pandemic, and it has to continue on help to small businesses. The estimates of how many of our small businesses, especially those in the hospitality industry, restaurants, hotels, live performance venues, so many will have to go under if we don't provide necessary relief. And then I hear from mayors and certainly those in local government who are during this pandemic, laying people off in essential positions because of what the pandemic has done to their budgets, both lost revenue as well as the extra expenditures that have been dumped on them because of the failures of this administration. So those are some of the key provisions, and I don't want to touch on all of them because I want to give Sherrod a chance to weigh in on those and others that he's been pushing for so strongly.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy. I hear the same thing Sammy hears. My favorite Abraham Lincoln quote has become when Lincoln was in the White House, was president, his staff said he needed to stay in the White House and win the war and free the slaves and preserve the Union. And Lincoln said, no, I have to go out and get my public opinion bath. And it's pretty clear the president and Mitch McConnell haven't really been listening to the people that Tammy and I listen to, because people in Kentucky and the whole country are hurting like they are in Wisconsin and Ohio. I agree with all the things Tammy said. I would emphasize particularly public education, that many schools aren't open for in-person learning, putting many moderate and low-income kids even further behind. Because we haven't provided dollars to open safely. The president says open, but not open safely. I would emphasize, too, rental assistance is especially important, emergency rental assistance. And I would expand a bit on the $600 a week. That $600 a week that disappeared for, in my state, 600,000 workers lost that $600 a week in August. What are they to do? What are they to do to feed their families? What are they to do to pay their rent? And that $600, it's one study showed that $600 a week kept 12 million Americans out of poverty. And you know what else it did, though? It kept a whole lot of the businesses that Tammy talks about that are really struggling. That $600 a week to workers kept a lot of those businesses afloat. So it was good that $600 for workers every week is good for the economy as a whole. Trump and McConnell don't seem to understand that. Their hostility to everyday working Americans comes through, and unfortunately they have to pay the price, but it's hurt our economy in addition to those 600,000 workers in my state and several hundred thousand in Wisconsin.
Thank you both. Whitney, I think we have a few more questions in line, so let's go to the next one.
Yep, our next question is gonna come from Joe Ingles at Ohio Public Radio. Joe, you are live.
Hello. I just wanted to ask about last night. We saw the debate come up, and when afterwards, some of the Republican leaders, including Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and our speaker here, Bob Cupp, they praised the president for his performance in the debate. But President Trump was talking about the Proud Boys and said they should stand back and stand by. He talked about, made some controversial remarks about white supremacists. I would like to know what you think about that. Should what do you think about, you know, the politicians who are considered more mainstream in some ways making remarks praising President Trump on his debate performance, given those remarks that he made?
Well, I'm disappointed in my Republican colleagues in Washington and in Ohio that they have they've been so spineless in standing up to this president when he criticized soldiers who had given their lives to our country and called them losers and suckers when he does what he said when he's failed so abysmally on managing this virus. Governor DeWine saved lives in Ohio by what he did early in this virus to combat the coronavirus. Donald Trump, people died because of Donald Trump's inactions. 4% of the world's population, 22% of the world's deaths have happened to our country. It's not because we don't have good doctors in Cleveland and Columbus and Cincinnati. It's because we have a president who simply hasn't led. And I don't understand how Ohio politicians can continue to defend that kind of leadership when our unemployment rate is so high still in Ohio, and it's far too many people are contracting this coronavirus every day.
Senator Baldwin, do you have anything to add, or should we not? We can go to the next question.
I just have to say the overt and implicit calls to violence, frankly, is downright scary, and you know, just yet another. Another instance of Trump trying to suppress votes, intimidate, and draw doubt as to whether there will be a peaceful transfer of power, and it is it's un-American.
And if I could add one other thing too, Joe. I never tell journalists or even suggest to journalists how to do their jobs, but I would ask through you, if you will, I would ask these Ohio Republicans, since the president wasn't willing to criticize white supremacy, do they condemn white supremacy and white supremacists?
All right. Our next question is going to come from Alice Olstein at Politico. Alice, you are live.
Thank you so much. I wanted to ask Senator Baldwin, your state is trending to be one of the worst in the country on the pandemic, has the top metro areas for new cases, and hospitals are filling up. What do you attribute this surge, and what needs to be done, and what is the impact of how state officials are responding right now?
So, yes, the situation is dire in Wisconsin right now with outbreaks. A few weeks back, much of it was attributed to 18 to 25-year-olds coming back to college campuses across the state. And indeed, at that time, we were seeing that age cohort, we were seeing outbreaks in that age cohort. That is no longer the case. And we are also seeing different geographic areas of the state have significant outbreaks. Now, anecdotally, I've been hearing, for example, a 200-person indoor wedding where a good percentage of the participants and attendees tested positive within a few days. Other sort of indoor affairs that have resulted in mass outbreaks. And whether it is the politicization of this pandemic and people simply ignoring the scientific guidance because they hear President Trump downplay it or criticize it, contradict it, or whether there's fatigue of the separation, social isolation, etc. In my mind, it is it's so hard to turn around when it gets this this large because contact tracing becomes very, very challenging. So the state legislature has time and time again undermined our governor's efforts to require masks. The very partisan court in Wisconsin has sided with the Republicans in the state legislature. And there's been a breakdown that is deeply disturbing. You mentioned in your question about the hospitalization levels. Because the recent outbreaks have been in areas like the Fox Valley in Wisconsin, those hospitals are at capacity and they're now looking to have to send patients to what will likely be a reopening of a field hospital in southeastern Wisconsin. The urgency can't be overstated, and we have to have all leaders, including our state Republicans, on the same page of take this seriously. We certainly hear that from our health director. We certainly hear that from our governor. But we are seeing a surge worse than we saw at the very beginning of this pandemic. And the utter failure of leadership on the part of the federal government, of course, is largely to blame.
Thank you, Senator. I know it's getting on noon, but if our senators can stay another minute or two, I think we have one or two more questions. Whitney?
Yep. Our next question is going to come from Mary Ellen McIntyre at CQ Roll Call. Mary Ellen, you are live.
Hey.
Mary Ellen, I think you're breaking up a little bit. Are you there? Mary Ellen?
Why don't we maybe why don't we move to the next question and then we can get her back when she returns.
Our next question is going to come from Jonathan Sadowski at Up North News, Wisconsin. Jonathan, you are live.
Hi. Thanks for letting me ask a question. Senator Baldwin, I wanted to direct this at you just in relation to the debate last night where we saw the president, refuse to condemn white supremacists and militia. And this is something that we've seen have an impact in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, when a militia member killed protesters in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting. So what were your thoughts on that when he refused to condemn them, and how big a threat do they pose to communities?
Yeah, so back to, for context of others on the call who are less familiar with the things that occurred in Kenosha, Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back in front of his children by a police officer in Kenosha. And within a couple of days, if it was 2 days later, as people took to the streets to demonstrate their pain, their grief, and their call for reforms, vigilante groups started assembling, and self-proclaimed vigilante groups. A 17-year-old from Illinois shot 3 people, 2 of whom died. And when Donald Trump visited the following week, defended the police officer and defended the vigilante. And that was, I think, shocking and horrifying to many Wisconsinites, and such contrast to Joe Biden, who came a couple days later with a message of unity, healing, and unity as opposed to division. It is certainly shocking and I think immoral to have leaders, if you can call them that, stoking violence, stoking division, and defending militia groups, frankly. And we saw more of that last night at the debate. And that's not the way we keep order in a democracy. I think it just crystallizes the clear choice. Certainly for me, the positions on healthcare, that's the purpose of this call, are also divisions, the differences between Joe Biden's plan to strengthen the Affordable Care Act beyond where it is right now after President Trump has spent 4 years diminishing it and sabotaging it, and in a matter of days plans to go before the Supreme Court of the United States to try to get rid of it altogether. Again, Wisconsinites and Americans have a clear choice.
Thank you. I think Mary Ellen McIntyre is back. So again, with the indulgence of our guest speakers, why don't we see if we can take her question?
Yep. Mary Ellen,
hi, everyone.
You are live. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me this time?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Sorry about that. My question is for both or either of the senators. I'm curious if you guys could look ahead a little bit. Democrats have talked a lot about, strengthening the ACA, as well as the former vice president last night talked about setting up a public option. There's also obviously responding to the coronavirus pandemic. How do you kind of think that these different priorities would rank in an agenda if former Vice President Biden is elected and there's a Democratic-held Senate to sort of, take action on some of these? How are you sort of thinking about the prioritization of those issues?
Kim, you want to go first?
Sure. These are top priorities. We are all suffering from the fact that President Trump, his abject failure of leadership in the face of the pandemic. There are actions that he could have taken back in February of this year that would have put us in a very, very different place. As many have said, it didn't have to be this way. But if we're going to have a full recovery in terms of our economy, we have to go after the pandemic and the coronavirus first. They are intrinsically linked together. We need the Department of Labor through OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, to issue emergency pandemic standards, keep workers safe, and to keep customers safe. And we need to unleash the full potential of the Defense Production Act to make sure we have the tests, testing supplies, PPE, personal protective equipment, and other medical equipment in order to effectively recover from, to get to the other side of this pandemic. And when I say that, that's also about our economy, because if we are manufacturing these things domestically, not buying them from China or elsewhere in the world, we will be able to assure an adequate supply and actually refill our stockpiles. Those are all things that Vice President Biden would do immediately upon taking office. And, he has plans. President Trump doesn't.
Thank you.
That's right. So I'll be brief and close it up. We need all those things Tammy talked about. We need to do. The vice president has set them as priorities. We need to do things in addition to combat the virus. We need to do things that make people's lives better immediately. That is, that's raising the minimum wage, expanding the child tax credit, putting money. This is all part of fighting the virus and rebuilding the economy, minimum wage, bring the overtime rule back that Trump wiped out. 100,000 people in my state lost their overtime pay. Do Medicare at 55 and either the public option Medicare at 55 or those together. All of those should be part of Congress's moves in the first few weeks of session, where people can see that we have a new president, we have a new Senate, we have a new House, and their lives are beginning to get better immediately, and it's up to us to do that.
Thank you. I want to thank both of our speakers. Thank all of those who attended. America's healthcare and lives of millions of Americans are on the line over the next several weeks with the decisions that senators will make in this confirmation hearing and voters will make on Election Day. Whitney, thank you very much, and thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.